The new plant was end perfect. That's what made it perfect. It had cracked windows, a door that stuck in sticky rainfall, and a roof that creaked every time the wind pushed in from the ocean. But it smelled like swab and makeup and sun. And when the swells hit the jewels below, the whole place sounded to breathe. Aaron stood in the doorway that first morning, mug of coffee in hand, gaping out at the horizon. The sky was barred with the same deep blue that had followed him across times and Metropolis's Lena's blue. The color of her eyes, of every calm and storm that had shaped them. Behind him, she was discharging skirmishes and jars of color. The sound of glass clicking against wood felt like a twinkle, small, mortal, alive. "Do you suppose it'll hold through downtime?" she asked, without looking up. "Not a chance," he said, smiling. "But we'll fix it. Together? Always." The city hard was small, perhaps 1,000 people, utmost of them fishers or shop possessors. There was a bakery that opened at daylight, a cafe that doubled as a post office, and a bookstore where the proprietor claimed on advancing further than dealing. It was the kind of place where everyone noticed when you arrived, and everyone pretended not to. Lena liked that. She liked walking through the request in the mornings, her hair tied up, a handbasket under her arm, hearing abductions of original gossip and horse laugh. Aaron liked the quiet, the meter of the ocean, the light that changed by the hour, the way time stretched else then. They rented a small house of many twinkles from the plant, white walls, blue shutters, a balm tree by the gate. In the gloamings, Lena would paint by the window while Aaron cooked, music playing vocally in the background. They didn't talk much during those hours. They didn't need to. Their silence was fluent. One autumn, a original woman stopped by the plant with her son. "You're the artists," she said, smiling shyly. "Everyone's talking about you." Lena laughed. "Is that good or bad?" "Good," the woman said. "They say you brought color back to the escarpments." After they left, Aaron looked at her, eyebrows raised. "We brought color back to the escarpments?" Lena beamed. "Guess we're legends now." He chortled, shaking his head. "We slightly fixed the roof." "Yeah," she said, "but we fixed commodity differently." They spent weeks working on separate systems, Aaron exploring light and stir through photography, Lena oil from memory rather of sight. Their art had changed again. Aaron's photos were clean or composed presently. They were blurred, a mist caught in stir, like recollections refusing to stay still. Lena's oils had grown abstract, all feeling and meter, blue and white colliding like seafoam. They'd show each other their work late at night, sitting on the bottom with a bottle of wine, laughing at what it didn't work, still amazed at what did. Formerly, after showing him a half-finished piece, Lena said, "You know what I've realized?" "What?" "That I don't want my art to be understood presently. I just want it to be felt." He jounced sluggishly. "Also you formerly won." One morning, while Lena was painting, Aaron faded for many hours. When he came back, he was carrying a small rustic box. "What's that?" she asked. He placed it on the table. "A gift." She opened it precisely. Inside was a compass. Old, polished, the brass flashing noiselessly. The needle spun formally before settling north. She looked up, smiling. "You suppose I'm lost again?" He beamed.
"No.
I just allowed perhaps it's my turn to be your north for a while." Her eyes softened. "You formerly are." By midsummer, word had spread. A gallery from the megacity reached out, asking if they'd be interested in a common exhibition, The Sea Between Us. Lena dithered. "Do we really want to go back to that world again?" Aaron signed. "Perhaps this time we go on our own terms." She studied him for a moment, also jounced.
"All right.
But it has to be here. However, they come to the ocean if they want to see our work." So they did. The gallery transferred a small platoon, and soon the escarpments were buzzing again. Intelligencers, art critics, shutterbugs. For many days, the sleepy city came the center of attention. But this time it was different. Lena and Aaron were ent the megacity's restless artists presently. They were part of the geography now quieter, nay less hysterical, of being Ms. New. Their exhibition opened in the old boathouse, now restored. The walls were lined with Lena's ocean, inspired oils, and Aaron's blurred photos of light and stir. The sound of the swells filtered through the open doors, as if the ocean itself was part of the work. When the crowd weakened, Lena stood beside Aaron, watching people move sluggishly through the space. "Do you suppose they get it?" she asked. He smiled. "I suppose they feel it." That night, after everyone left, they stayed before in the empty boathouse. The candles flitted low, the drift brooding against the jewels. Lena leaned against a pillar, wine glass in hand. "You know what's strange?" "What?" "We've spent times trying to make commodity lasting. And now that we have, it feels like it could vanish at any moment." Aaron jounced. "Perhaps that's what makes it real. The knowing it's fragile." She looked at him also, really looked. "Do you ever get spooked we'll lose it again?" He broke, allowing. "Occasionally. But also I flash back the escarpments. The metropolises. The storms. We've lost and set up each other further times than I can count. So, if it ever happens again," she finished for him, "we'll find our way back." He smiled. "Exactly." Latterly, as they walked home under a sky scattered with stars, Lena slipped her hand into his. "Aaron." "Yeah." "Do you ever suppose about ever?" He glanced at her. "Not in the way people mean it." "How also?" "Ever is endless time. It's the moments that no way fade, the bones that stay indeed when everything additional changes." She smiled vocally. "Also, this is ever." He kissed her hand.
"Yeah.
This is ever." The coming morning, Lena woke beforehand. Aaron was still asleep, his face half hidden by the pillow. She watched him for a while, the rise and fall of his breathing, the faint smile indeed in sleep, and commodity inside her shifted. Not sweat. Not mistrustfulness. Just mindfulness. That everything they'd erected, the house, the plant, the life was precious because it could evaporate. And that was the verity of love it was meant to be possessed, only lived completely while it lasted. She got up still and stepped outdoors. The sun was rising over the ocean, gold discovering across the swells. She picked up her sketchbook.
And began to draw not him, not them, but the light itself. When Aaron woke, he set up her there, barefoot on a veranda, hair tangled by wind, eyes glowing with commodity deeper than joy. He watched her for a long time before saying, "You look like a morning." She smiled without looking up. "That's exactly how I feel." The storm came without warning. One night, the wind began to rise, decelerate and undergird like a breath, turning into a laugh. By night, the ocean had swallowed the horizon. The swells crashed so hard against the jewels that the boathouse shook. Aaron and Lena stayed awake, hearkening to the chaos outdoors. The walls moaned, the windows rattled. The air smelled of swab and electricity. When a loud crash came from the direction of the plant, Aaron jumped up. "Duent," Lena said, gripping his hand. "It's dangerous." He looked toward the window, also back at her. "I have to make sure the work's safe." "Aaron, it's wood and makeup. Please." But he was formally gone, the wind slamming the door behind him. He reached the plant, soaked within seconds. The door had blown open, rain and ocean spray submerging the bottom. His oils, weeks of work, leaned precariously against the wall. He dragged them to safety, heart pounding, hands shaking. Also, the roof cracked. A ray splintered above him, and instinct took over. He ran. By the time he reached the house again, the storm was roaring full force. Lena stood in the doorway, wild-eyed, calling his name into the wind. He stumbled in, trickling, casket heaving. She threw her arms around him, pulsing with fury and relief. "Are you insane?" she cried. "Perhaps," he heaved. "But everything's okay now." She pulled back to look at him. His soaked hair, the small cut on his forepart, the way he was smiling indeed now, and for an alternate, she didn't know whether to hit him or kiss him. So she did both, a push, also a kiss that tasted of rain and fear and everything in between. By morning, the storm was gone. The ocean was calm again, nearly too calm, the kind that made you feel it was hiding commodity. They went to the plant together. The damage was worse than Aaron had realized. The roof had incompletely collapsed, water pooling across the bottom, a many oils ruin beyond saving. Lena stood in the doorway, quiet. "We'll rebuild," she said eventually. He turned to her. "I'm sorry." She shook her head. "Do and be? UCA and control the ocean." "But I could have heeded to you." She touched his impertinence. "You did what you always do. You try to say what you love, indeed when it's formally breaking. I say and be angry at that." They spent the coming many days drawing up, repairing, drying, risking what they could. Neighbors came to help, bringing tools, food, stories of one storms. The city had survived worse, they said. The ocean took and gave back in its own meter. But Commodity and Lena had shifted. She set up herself gaping at the horizon more frequently, painting lower. It was then sadness, exactly, more like mindfulness. The storm had reminded her how fluently everything could evaporate. One evening, while Aaron was doctoring a wall, she said still, "What if one day we wake up and this is all gone? The plant, the house, us?" He didn't look up. "Also, we start again." She smiled noiselessly. "You make it sound so simple." "It is," he said, "because the starting again, that's what we do stylish." Weeks latterly, a letter arrived from Berlin. It was from a gallery watchman they'd worked with times ago, an assignation for a major retrospective. "Your trip from megacity to ocean deserves to be seen," the letter said. "We want the story of your elaboration." Lena read it audibly, her voice flat. Aaron leaned against the table, thinking, "It's a good occasion." She jounced sluggishly, "Perhaps too good. You don't want to go?" "I don't know," she admitted. "Part of me wants to see it all again, the places, the people. But another part," she looked out the window at the ocean, "another part wants to stay lost then." He crossed at her side, resting his hand on her reverse. "Also, we'll decide together." But he could formally feel the pull in both directions, the calm of this life, and the noise of the bone they'd left before. That night, Lena pictured water. She was standing at the edge of the escarpments again, the same place where they'd set up each other times agone. The ocean was calm at first, also restless. She saw Aaron in the distance, walking down, his figure blurring into the mist. When she called his name, her voice didn't carry. She woke up with her heart racing, the echo of swells still in her cognizance. Aaron stirred beside her. "You okay?" She jounced, though she was ent. "Just a dream." He pulled her close, and she lay there, hearkening to his twinkle, until hers braked. But indeed, as she drifted back to sleep, she couldn't shake the feeling that Commodity was shifting again. Commodity, unseen, ineluctable. In the days that followed, the letter dallied between them like a ghost. They didn't talk about it much, but it was always there, in the way Aaron goggled at the ocean for too long, or how Lena's encounter did the red midstroke. Eventually, one evening, she said, "You want to go, do'n't you?" He didn't answer right down. "Also, vocally, part me does." She jounced. "Also, we should." He looked at her. "Are you sure?" "I'm sure of you," she said. "That's enough." The decision was made. They'd go back, just for the exhibition. A month. Also, they'd return to the ocean. They packed their work precisely, labeling beaters and wrapping oils. The city gathered to wish them luck, promising the escarpments would stay. Before they left, Lena walked down to the water one last time. The drift was low, the air still. She squinched and let her fritters touch the face. "Keep this safe," she rumored. Behind her, Aaron called, "Talking to the ocean again?" She smiled. "Always." Berlin was louder than she flashed back. The megacity hummed with energy, lights, noise, movement far and wide. People, business, colors, words. It was beautiful and inviting all it formally. The gallery had converted their story into Commodity vast. Apartments filled with their work, from their foremost sketches to their newest pieces from the escarpments. The title read, "The Blue Between Us, a Trip in Art and Love." Standing there, girdled by times of their life turned into spectacle, Lena felt exposed. Every oil was a memory. Every snap a concession. Aaron, however, sounded alive in it, moving through the crowd, answering questions, smiling in that way that made people feel they'd been seen. She watched him from across the room and felt both proud and distant, like watching the echo of someone she used to.
No.
When he eventually came to her side, she said still, "It's strange, isn't it? Seeing it all like this."
He jounced.
"Like walking through our history. Except we see it and change any of it." He looked at her, really looked, and for an alternate she saw the boy on the escarpments again. Curious, intrepid, hers. "Perhaps we're not supposed to," he said. "Perhaps we just learned to carry it." That night, after the exhibition ended, they walked through the megacity in silence. Lena stopped outdoors a familiar cafe, the bone they'd used to sit in times agone. The lights were still warm, the windows fogged. She smiled vocally. "It's still then." Aaron's expression shifted. "So are we." She turned to him. "Are we, however?" He lowered. "What do you mean?" "I mean we've erected this life by the ocean. But then, girdled by all this noise, I see corridor of you that wake up again. And I wonder if you miss it." He dithered. "Occasionally I do. But missing commodity, does ent mean I want to live in it again?" "Does ent it?" she asked still. He did ent answer. They stood there, the megacity moving around them, both knowing that love was still there, just quieter now, like a current beneath still water. When they eventually returned to their hostel, Lena stepped out onto the deck. The megacity lights stretched endlessly, a constellation of memory. Aaron came up behind her, belting his arms around her midriff. "We'll go home soon," he said. "To the ocean." She leaned back against him. "Home," she repeated vocally, tasting the word. Below them, the business moved like a swash of light, grim, alive, impregnable. And nearly deep outside, she felt it again, the pull between two worlds, two lives, two performances of themselves. One bound to the ocean. One bound to everything they'd formerly been. The coming morning, Berlin woke beforehand. Buses whizzed over wet thoroughfares, wagonettes rattled, and the megacity stretched into stir. Lena stood by the window, a mug of coffee cooling in her hand. Aaron was still asleep, one arm over his eyes, the other reaching for the space beside him, her space. She watched him for a long time. Indeed now, after everything, the storms, the silence, the ocean, she still loved how he looked when he slept peaceful, ignorant of the noise outside or the noise inside her. But there was commodity she couldn't shake, a restlessness, like the drift pulling back before another storm. The exhibition had gone impeccably. Their work had vended. Critics praised their raw closeness and elaboration of perspective. They were invited to feasts, addresses, interviews. Far and wide they went, people wanted to hear the story, their story. And that was the problem. Lena realized they'd come characters in a tale everyone differently was telling. The ocean, the love, the art. All of it turned into myth. At one event, an intelligencer asked her, "What's it like, being the poet?" Lena smiled politely, but inside commodity burned. The poet, not the artist, not the equal. Just the woman who inspired. Latterly that night, in their hostel room, she said still, "Do you ever feel like we're someone additional story?" Aaron looked up from the sketches he was sorting. "What do you mean?" "They talk about us like a legend. The suckers who left the megacity for the ocean. But that's not what we are." He jounced sluggishly. "I know." "Do you?" she said, sharper than she meant. He broke, studying her face. "You suppose I do and see you?" "I suppose everyone sees me through you," she said. "Indeed now." There was silence. The kind that doesn't fade, it just deepens. The coming day, she went out alone. She walked for hours, through the narrow thoroughfares of Mitt, past the swash, through the requests where the air smelled of coffee and essence and rain. At a small gallery put away between structures, she stopped. Outside, a collection of photos hung on pale walls, images of non-natives caught mid-motion laughing, crying, running, staying. Each one alive in its own stillness. Lena stood there, gaping at one snap, a woman standing in front of an ocean, her face turned down, hair trouncing in the wind. The caption read, "To flashback is to love doubly." She rumored the words to herself. By the time she returned to the hostel, dusk had fallen. Aaron was sitting by the window, sketching. He looked up. "You faded." I demanded to walk. He jounced, as if he'd anticipated that. "I saw Commodity Moment too," he said. "An old friend from the academe. He asked if I'd ever educate again." "And what did you say?" "I said I do and no." She smiled noiselessly. "That's honest." He set the sketchbook down. "Lena, what are we doing then?" She took a deep breath. "Showing our ghosts to the world, perhaps." "And after that?" "I do and no, Aaron," she said vocally. "Perhaps that's the point." The following week passed like a dream, bright and blurred. The exhibition continued, the assignations multiplied. But under the face, Commodity Fragile had begun to fray. One evening, at a crowded gallery regale, Aaron was girdled by patrons and artists. He spoke fluently, his charm royal. Lena watched from across the room, belting wine, half, hearkening to a discussion about fashion and form. A youthful watchman turned to her. "You must be proud," she said. "He's extraordinary." Lena smiled. "He is." But as she said it, a strange pang spread through her casket, pride mixed with distance, admiration tangled with loneliness. Because yes, Aaron was extraordinary. But nearly along the way, she'd stopped feeling like she belonged in the same frame. That night, after the guests had gone and the megacity lights bedimmed, Aaron set up her on the deck again. He leaned on the rail beside her. "You've been quiet recently. I'm just allowing."
"About what?"
"About what happens when we go back." He exhaled. "We'll keep working."
"Keep living."
"Like ahead." "Like ahead," she repeated. "Aaron, nothing's like ahead." He turned to her. "Also tell me what's changed." She met his aspect, and for a moment, everything she wanted to say, about being seen, about losing herself in the blue of his eyes, about demanding to find her own horizon, rose to the face. But she couldn't speak it. "Rather," she said, "perhaps I just need to paint Commodity that's mine." He jounced sluggishly, though she could see the flicker of hurt in his eyes. "Also do it. I'll give you the space." "It's not about space," she rumored. "It's about air." The coming morning, she woke beforehand, packed her maquillages, and left without waking him. She rented a small plant near the swash, nothing fancy, just a white room with altitudinous windows and light that shifted all day long. She painted in silence. Hours passed, colors spread, recollections surfaced. She painted the escarpments, the ocean, the house, the storms, and in the middle of it all, a figure, not Aaron this time, but herself. Small, still, standing before an endless blue. By evening, her hands were pulsing, her shirt barred with color. She stepped back, breathless. It was Ent perfect. It was Ent indeed finished. But it was hers. For the first time in times, she felt the same rush she'd felt when she first picked up her encounter. Not to please, not to prove, just to speak. When she returned to the hostel, Aaron was staying by the window, looking out at the megacity lights. "You were gone all day," he said still. "I was painting."
He jounced. "I figured. You're not angry?" He turned to her, eyes tired but soft. "No, I suppose I've been staying for you to do that." She dithered. "Do what?" "Find your own blue," he said. Her throat tensed. "Aaron," he smiled noiselessly, "you suppose I didn't see it? The way you've been fading beside me? I've felt it for months. Perhaps times." She stepped closer. "I no way meant to fade." "I know. You just got lost. And perhaps I let you." The silence between them was heavy, but it was angry. It was Commodity nay, a kind of mourning for the interpretation of them that could last ever. They went to the gallery one last time before leaving Berlin. Lena's new oil, the one she'd made alone, was part of the exhibition, but Aaron claimed on taking a print of it anyway, hanging unframed in her rented plant. He said, "That's my favorite bone you've ever done." "Why?" "Because it's the first bone that doesn't need me in it." She looked at him, gashes catching in the corner of her eyes. "Do and say that." "It's not sad," he said vocally. "It's freedom. When they returned to the ocean, it was dusk. The escarpments were dark outlines against a rose-colored sky. The house stood staying, silent but whole. As they unloaded, Lena noticed the air smelled the same, suave and pine and memory. Yet commodity inside her had changed. She wasn't the woman who had first come then, lost and breathless. She wasn't just a poet or the half of a legend. She was an artist again. That night, they walked down to the reinforcement. The drift was rising, the water reflecting a thousand tones of blue. Lena said, "Do you ever wish we'd no way left the megacity?" Aaron allowed for a long time. "No, because the megacity gave us noise, but the ocean gave us silence. And in silence, we set up who we really were." She smiled. "And who are we now?" He looked at her, also out at the horizon. Two people still trying to see each other easily. They stood there until the stars came out. Small, steady lights scattered over a dark sky. The swells rumored against the jewels. The wind moved through the lawn, and the world felt both horizonless and small. Lena leaned into him, resting her head on his shoulder. "I suppose I eventually understand," she said. "Understand what?" "What it means to be lost in the blue." He turned to her, eyes the same color she meant. "And what does it mean?" he asked. She smiled. "It means to love commodity so deeply, you stop knowing where you end and it begins. But it also means chancing the courage to step out of it and still be whole." He jounced sluggishly. "Also, perhaps we both demanded to get lost to find ourselves." She laughed vocally. "Always the artist. Always the poet," he said, but this time, it didn't sound like a marker. It sounded like a verity they'd eventually made peace with. That night, the ocean was calm again. In the plant, their oils leaned against the walls, hers, his, and some they'd made together. The air smelled of turpentine and suave. Aaron stood at his easel, sketching in quiet meter. Lena sat hard, finishing the last strokes of her new oil, a horizon fading into endless blue. When she was done, she sat down to encounter and looked at him. "Aaron," she said vocally. He turned. "Thank you for letting me be lost." He smiled, that same crooked, gentle smile that had undone her times agone. "You were no way lost, Lena. You were just chancing your way back." Outside, the drift rumored against a reinforcement, endless and patient. The house, the escarpments, the ocean, all of it exactly as ahead, yet fully changed. And nearly between the silence of the ocean and the color of his eyes, Lena eventually understood that love was and about being seen. It was about seeing, completely, fiercely, without fear. She closed her eyes, hearkening to the swells, feeling the warmth of him beside her. And for the first time in times, she didn't feel lost at all. She fell home.